all day. Captain Joe alongside Jorge in there as well. We were about 3 o'clock. Handed off to our good friend Phil Bonatti at that point for his fine show behind the bench. 2 hours today, and then it's off to Carter and everybody at Mionette's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota Granite Park. It is once again Major Wager Monday. The very important game, particularly for the Steelers tonight, 5:15. Get there by 5 if you can. Giveaways, the great food of Me and Ed's, big screen TVs as we roll into the final 3 weeks of the regular season, and a lot going on. And certainly for the teams that we present to you, and actually we have the national games from Westwood One, but 49ers, Rams, and Raiders. Two of the three very much in the hunt. The other one, the Raiders, may be looking for a different head coach. I had said about 3 or 4 weeks ago, if Mark Davis would leave Pete Carroll alone, it'd be fine. Since then, the Raiders, after that close call in Denver, have gone completely in the tank, including getting wiped out yesterday in Philly. But for the 49ers and Rams, really critical games. I'll tell you all about the schedule for us over the weekend and for the rest of this week, of course, in just a little while, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisionemg.net for more information. I'll tell you about the fundraising Ed does for Fresno State when we go over the schedules for both 1430 and 790. Paul with me today, as always, on a Monday. We'll get to him in just a second and get to emails. Mark up in Clovis Northland, I'll get to your email about the bowl games. And to Dom, I will address what you were saying about the comparison from the old AFL-NFL days to what we're going to face as the pack starts next year. So I'll get to those in just a few minutes. But first, as always, other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. Leading off today, our local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, great benefactors for sport across this terrific valley of ours. And right now, with the holidays front and center, we're just a little over a week away from Christmas, as most of you are aware. You have a very busy time, and sometimes dinner at this particular point can be an afterthought. So KFC, knowing you're looking at the holiday itself, they have your back right now with the Extra Crispy Festive Feast, and that means for just $25 right now, you can get 8 pieces of golden extra crispy drumsticks and thighs, 2 large sides of mashed potatoes, 4 warm biscuits, and a gravy flight that features the classic brown, the new white peppercorn, and Southwest cheddar gravies. Available at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. It's a delicious, easy-to-grab-off meal for you and the entire family. It's a great value as well. And as always, the Extra Crispy Feast is finger-licking good. Thanks to the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We appreciate all they do for the station and for this great valley of ours. Other reminders, weather time from our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Been with us a good long while. Been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. And they allow me the time to tell you about the weather each and every day. More information on the web, leesair.com or 825-533-7825. Lees, again, anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. As far as forecast goes, it's the same old right now. If we can get the fog to burn off, it's going to be a lot warmer. But right now, we're still battling haze. It's fog in the morning, some sunshine in the afternoon. We're making progress gradually. 48 today, 51 projected tomorrow, 54 on Wednesday with the lows around 48. So watch out for the fog anytime you have the lows close to the dew points. We're looking at, you know what's going to happen here, all right? As far as Wednesday goes, a 54 and a chance of showers North Valley only. And then Thursday, maybe an opportunity here to see a few clouds roll in, but a 58 and 59 on Friday. And then Saturday, the first legitimate chance in the Fresno area for rain, and a 65 with a 50 as the low, and 64 and maybe a passing shower on Sunday with a low of 55. So basically, it's going to be foggy in the early part of this week, and hopefully we're going to see rain as we head toward the weekend. We'll see how it plays out. Again, same proviso as always. be extremely careful, particularly in the outlying areas. Anyway, thanks everybody at Leaves for allowing us the time. Again, 825-5337, 825-LEAVES. They also sponsor the Leaves Air Hotline. That's how you can call Phil and how we'll bring up guests like Paul Leffler in just a moment. 559-320-1430. That is the Leaves Air Hotline. The final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend and a longtime sponsor. That's Joe Cruz and his outstanding business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. He affords me time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. But first, about his business: pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there under one roof. 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, suite 103, or give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Joe is there. Gabe, who works for Joe, is there. Family-friendly business. More information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com. Or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Every day I remind you about this. If you're someone who's working around a valve in any way, shape, or form, maybe you're at a plant, you're a maintenance person, tanker delivery service, working around a boiler, anybody who relies upon a valve for your productivity, if a valve goes down, your business can go down with it, and your bottom line can be affected greatly. What Joe can do for you on the same day that you pull in, whether you call him or you show up in person, Joe will analyze your situation, get you an estimate right away, get you same-day service. If it's a minor hit, you'll be back up full speed before you know it. If it's a major problem, they'll get to it right away and get you on the road back to full productivity. It is a terrific business. That's why he's had such great success for 25 years, celebrating that 25th anniversary right now. And also, the success of the business has enabled him to be a longtime booster at Fresno State. And if you stop in, after he analyzes everything for you, if you have a few minutes, he'll tell you what he has done for Fresno State donation-wise and what he'd like to see you do if possible. The best avenue right now is to head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There are two links up top that are critically important. You can't miss them. One is the donate link. The other one is the NIL link. I don't need to tell you about NIL. We talk about it every day. Once again, whether you like it or can't stand it, it is reality. And if you don't, one more time, don't join the parade. You just sit on the curb and watch it go by. You have little right to complain about it simply because you're not doing anything to positively affect the situation toward your end, which would be Fresno State at this time. So here's what you can do. Hit that donate link. It'll take you to different areas of potential donation, knowing that any sponsorship idea for players or anything in the way of a commercial or a donation through NIL can be done at the same time. But as far as getting to the groups that help out Fresno State, you hit that donate link, it'll take you to the Bulldog Foundation website, 75th anniversary of the BDF right now. Club Red, which is for former players, is there. Also, the Giving Societies have their link, which means the Green Bee Society is there, the Myers Champion Circle. And then you have under Ways to Give the individual sports clubs, in addition to the Valley Co-op, which is new and also critically important in the way of donation. As far as the sports clubs go, again, Timeout Club, Jack Furtig on the board of directors for men's basketball in the Timeout Club. He'd love to see more members. Said call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or FurtigJack@AOL.com. You can hit him up on the web. You've got the Timeout Club. You've got for football, Quarterback Club. They'd love to see more members as well. You can contact them. Dugout Club for baseball, and other links are there for men's and women's sports as well. Also, you have other information there around the website at GoBulldogs.com that includes the More link, where we'll tell you about tickets and information for all events on campus. So it's one-stop shopping right now. So anything you want to do to benefit the university, it's right there at GoBulldogs.com. And we appreciate Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing us the time to tell you about it. Anyway, thanks to Joe and his great business. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Thanks to the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And thanks to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And along those lines, on the Lee's Air Hotline, it is the voice of your Bulldogs, a longtime friend, a longtime participant in this show. It is Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, doing all right. You know, I was speaking to the North Fresno Lions Club today and ran into one of your longtime listeners from before I moved to town, and he was reminding me how in the early days of your show, you used to close down restaurants, as in put them out of business. So at least right. If you're not hanging out at restaurants on this show anymore, you can't put any more of them out of business.
Yeah, we used to talk about that. It was the old, you open it, we'll close it tour. Yeah, it was an unfortunate, it didn't happen right away in fairness, but it seemed like every time we went to a restaurant, after about 6-10 months of us being gone, they closed down. Maybe it was because we weren't there, or maybe it was because we were there to begin with, Paul. One never knows, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's quite a legacy, all right. Listen, I want to mention this up front. Paul is the perfect guest to have on for this because he understands this as well as anybody. We understand we do not exist in a vacuum. We talk about the toy department in reality sport is very important to a lot of people as both a vocation and avocation. It also can be critical escapism from other parts of your life. I'll never forget one time, a long time ago, when we had the 4 to 6 show only. This is the early days of sports talk radio in town 30-plus years ago. I had one guy call up, and he said, hey, you know what? I sit in the driveway to listen to the end of the show, and my wife and my kids think I'm out of my mind because they see me pull up in the driveway, but for 25 minutes I don't come in. He said, here's the reason. A lot of the rest of my life is difficult to deal with. On a given afternoon from 4 to 6, a few laughs, a little bit about sport, and then when I shut the door, I go back to my real life. I just enjoy getting away from it all. Okay, I understand that part of it, and I embraced it. I also know there are people that their livelihood depends upon this, but we are not blind to what goes on in world events and national events, and this has been a brutally difficult weekend on a variety of fronts, and I think everybody knows what I'm talking about, so we're aware of it. And when we talk about sport, we are most certainly not minimizing the real-world aspects of other things. But we also want to pay due respect to people that do make their living in sport or those that embrace it because it does enable them to get away from some of the other parts of their life that aren't so easy. And also, this is a very tough weekend on the field to play as well, as we've seen stars like Mahomes and Parsons go down. It's in its proper place, but we get it and we understand it. And so, Paul, when you and I talk, we know this is not the be-all, end-all, but it's important to a lot of people as well, and I wanted to make that clear. And I don't know if there's anything you want to add before we get started, my friend.
No, I think it's always important to have our eyes on the big picture, Tony, and on any given day. You know, so large a portion of your audience is carrying something heavy and is dealing with something that's painful. And in the holiday season, sometimes that's harder for some folks, you know, the different memories that are triggered, and then you have the weight of current events. So, no, I always appreciate when you put things in perspective. And, you know, you mentioned all the support clubs at Fresno State. They're really the tip of the spear for the Red Wave and what really has fueled Bulldog sports for so long. And you mentioned the dugout club, so I just wanted to give a shout-out. Last Monday, we had the annual alumni golf tournament. And the Dugout Club did a great job. Stan Bush has been doing it for decades. And Josh Lavandera, another former Diamond Dog All-American, jumped in this year and did a great job in rallying the troops. I mean, it was awesome to see so many guys, you know, from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s to today coming back. And even, you know, Steve Soderstrom's out there with his son Tyler, who's now a big leaguer himself. And it was just a reminder how special that Bulldog baseball program is. And now the schedule's out. So fans can get their season tickets. That would make a great Christmas gift. They're opening up with 8 straight at home against Utah and Pepperdine those first 2 weekends. And I'd get a taste of it early because, you know, this team's won the last 2 Mountain West tournament titles, been in the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row, last year in the Mountain West. And you could feel the enthusiasm there among all the alumni for what Coach Overland is doing and the potential of this program moving forward.
Well, no doubt about it. And by the way, it's the perfect segue to the first email from Dom. Again, guys, you can reach me at tdad1@att.net, TDAD, the number 1@att.net. But what Dom had wanted to talk about was what happened with Boise State over the weekend. And let's try it this way. We know going forward already that both the basketball and baseball that we're going to see in the PAC. It's going to be outstanding. We already know that basketball exponentially is going to get better. You're bringing Gonzaga in. Washington State and Oregon State have very good programs. And obviously in baseball, you bring Dallas Baptist in. You're just getting better and better as you go. But we are also aware that football is the tail that wags the dog. And what Dom had asked is he said, hey, you know, after watching Boise State over the weekend, as much as I love to see the orange and blue get its butt kicked, and Clovis Dave, by the way, said the same thing in more graphic language. He said, I'm just wondering, when you used to have Tom Flores on to talk about the Raiders every week, and we did that with Tom for a number of years, he talked about the original AFL-NFL merger and said, and what Dom is talking about is Tom Flores had mentioned that when the merger took place with the AFL and the NFL in the mid-60s, the merger took place fundamentally because they didn't want to have two competing drafts because it meant the players had the leverage. So they wanted the common draft. So they had the merger in 66, but they didn't start playing in conferences, AFC and NFC under one umbrella until 1970. So the first four Super Bowls, the AFL was still separate, and guys like Lombardi, et cetera, felt that it was beneath them for the National Football League to play the AFL. And what Tom had pointed out to us was playing for the Raiders and then being traded to Kansas City, that rivalry between the Raiders and Kansas City was as intense as any. I mean, it was a brawl, literally a brawl. You had cheap shots, you had fights, you had everything. But what Tom said was, as much as they fought one another tooth and nail for the league title, when it was time for the Super Bowl, even if it was your hated rival that made it, they were representing your league. And so if you were a Raider fan, you pulled for the Chiefs. If you were a Chiefs fan, you pulled for the Raiders, even though you couldn't stand them the rest of the year. Now, that changed, obviously, when everybody got into conferences. They never pull for one another anymore. What Dom wanted to know, Paul, is what should a Fresno State fan be viewing starting next year? Fighting like hell against your conference opponents, but then pulling for all of them in the postseason for the credibility of a conference that's somewhere between Group of Five, you hope, and P4s. How do you view it, Paul? Do you revel in Boise's failure, or is there part of you that says, I want them to get their butts kicked all year long, but when they play in a bowl game representing our conference, I want them to win? How do you feel about it?
You know, I think that's one of those things that is an individual fan's discretion. You know, there's I'm thinking of a phrase I hear a lot in church circles, you know, Christian liberty. You know, there are things that the people who follow that faith, the Bible's very clear on. There are other things that are kind of left up to your conscience and your discretion and how the Holy Spirit leads you. And when it comes to sports, it may not be as weighty of a thing. But, you know, for instance, our friend Cam Worrell finds it really, really hard to root for Boise State no matter what. And I understand why. And happy birthday, Cam, by the way. He had a big birthday yesterday. Coach Hill's birthday is coming up on Wednesday. Boy, what a blessing and a privilege it is to work with those guys all the time. But I think, you know, if you can give yourself a little objectivity, normally it is good to root for the teams from your conference. And, you know, with Boise's game the other day, disappointing that, you know, one of their best players decided not to play in the game. Whether that decided the game, I don't know. But there are dominoes that fall from that. So I think if you care about the purity of sports, you want everybody to play. You want to see a team put its best foot forward. You know, on one hand, you say, well, should Boise State have been hosting the conference championship game? And I thought, no. I mean, I thought New Mexico did everything it could do between the lines to earn that opportunity, only to have a computer that never watched any of these teams play and had no sense of momentum or, you know, opportunity. Because New Mexico is the only reason those other teams got in, because they knocked off San Diego State, and their reward was getting left out. So, you know, maybe that's part of it. But I think in general, with this new Pac-12, you want to see all the teams do well because you want that league to grow. And if they're going to close that gap, as you say, between, you know, the group of schools and the power schools, then they're probably going to have to be viable enough for schools like Cal and Stanford to see enough potential to jump back in. And I don't know that that's there yet. I think it's a distinct possibility in the future. But, you know, the better these teams can do in the interim, I think will help sway or maybe even accelerate that process with any schools who ultimately return to the conference. So from that standpoint, I'd say anytime you see one of those schools competing, you want to really pull for their success.
Yeah, it is. I think your point of view is right on the money. It is an individual situation, and it is difficult. And I understand with Cam, obviously, because of 2001 in particular. I mean, Tony was there and watched a lot of things get away because of that particular game. I mean, we've talked about it over and over again. That game resulted in two losses. That game's loss and then the emotional overhang in Hawaii the next game. But I get it, and I know him for Pat Hill, of course, the same way, being on the sideline as a coach. But it is something right now that everybody's going to have to decide what to do about the credibility for your conference. Right now, I suppose what you can say, Clovis Dave, this is for you in particular. You could say, you know what, they're still under the banner right now of the Mountain West. So if Boise State wanted to get its head kicked in by Washington, they did it under the header of the Mountain West. And then you can decide what you want to do next year in the PAC. I know this. In the regular season, there is going to be no pulling for anybody in your conference unless you need a particular win, right, Paul, to move you forward in the conference. There's not going to be any altruistic view of the real overall scope of things beyond your own self-interest. That's the way it sort of works. And hopefully Fresno State's going to be in that position next year, worrying about certain games because they're going to be in the hunt for the title. Now, I want to get to Mark's email here before we discuss other things. And here's what he said. He said for 2026 and beyond, he said, you know, the Pac at the moment has already lost a bowl game. The LA Bowl is going to be discontinuing. We talked about it with Panish last week. But he said for the Pac-12, he'd like to see the following bowl games be tied into the league. He has the Vegas Bowl, the Holiday Bowl, the Idaho Potato Bowl, and the Sun Bowl. He says here's what he most likely sees happening, though. He said the Las Vegas Bowl could go either way, but Mark could see the Vegas Bowl aligning with the two Power Four leagues as they eventually want to be a big-time bowl game. He said, but the Sun Bowl, I see them aligning with another league, possibly the Big 12. He said, so that leaves the Idaho Potato Bowl and the Holiday Bowl. Hopefully the PAC can work out an agreement to retain the Holiday Bowl, and to give the PAC an additional bowl game, though a bowl may need to be started here in town to do that. And he said, as such, maybe DeYoung Properties could be the title sponsor. He said, if not DeYoung Properties, perhaps a farming entity could sponsor the bowl. Paul, it's a lot to unpack, but let's start with the likely associations for bowl games. Do you feel as though the bowls mentioned will be part of the mix? The Holiday Bowl, for instance, which is down in San Diego, or bowl games like the Potato Bowl that, again, are in a host city at Boise State of the conference. Sun Bowl has always been a difficult proposition. That's also a CBS game. In Vegas, it may very well be they go somewhere else. Where do you see this going in regard to Mark's statements?
You know, Tony, I'll be honest. That's something I really haven't given much thought to. I'm actually calling the Las Vegas Bowl this year on national radio. That's Nebraska versus Utah. So I'm sure I'll get to meet some of the bowl directors. And I met John Cicenti there before. And maybe I'll ask him about that, what the future looks like. But, you know, I think there are a lot of possibilities, not only the member schools, but adjacent markets. You know, for many years, there were bowl games in the Bay Area, whether it was the Silicon Valley Football Classic that the Bulldogs brought great crowds to and beat big-time opponents in, or, you know, they had the bowl for a while at the Giants ballpark. You know, Levi's Stadium could host a bowl. There are a lot of possibilities that that's in the Pac-12 footprint, so why not take advantage of that? I know there's some talk of there being a bowl game in Colorado. You know, it doesn't sing of bowl weather in the Rockies. But that's a possibility. And I think it's, you know, those alliances will take shape. Right now, I think the priority for the conference and the ADs is figuring out a football schedule because they're at seven conference games and they need one more. So what's that going to look like? I think they really want to avoid a scenario where you're playing a home-and-home with a conference opponent in the same season. So So, you know, is there some kind of scheduling alliance? And if so, with what league? And there's a hierarchy there of the other, you know, group of five, you know, group of whatever leagues, which conference would you like to have some kind of scheduling alliance with? So I think there's higher priorities right now than the bowl lineup, but that'll take shape. And, you know, there might be some bidding going on there too. And I think, again, back to your previous question, that's where when your team is in a bowl game, fans traveling to the game can have a bigger impact than you think. You know, if the Bulldogs take a bunch of fans to Tucson, for example, and some of these other schools that are going to be in that Pac-12 travel well to their bowl games, like, you know, Utah State. I mean, I could see Bronco Mendenhall and the Aggies rolling up to Boise with a nice home crowd to take on a Washington State program that now is going to be led by our old buddy Kirby Moore. And, you know, congrats to Kirby and to Tim Skipper for their opportunities. Those are two of the finest young coaches I've been around. Great character, great people, great football minds. Really excited to see them both get their first true head coaching opportunities and see what they can do with it. But I think the way travel to some of these bowl games this year can be leveraged for which bowl games the conference is affiliated with in the future.
Well, in regard to the question, Mark, if you're listening, there's no doubt the bowl games that involve the host school being part of your conference, you have a tremendous advantage. And I was just talking to Panish the other day, Paul, about any inroads into the Los Angeles market for the Pac, because we know that it's all in name only these days, but the fact that the epicenter of the Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12, the traditional one prior to the breakaway, was always Los Angeles because SC was there, and basketball-wise, of course, UCLA, they were the dominant forces in the conference. And to have a Pac with no presence in Los Angeles made it very difficult to hold on to the LA Bowl. And I guess, Paul, this is going to be the debate forever and a day about the rest of the conference. And Mark, you referenced it. You've got a long-running bowl game in Boise. You've got a long-running bowl game in San Diego. Those are natural fits. Where does a bowl game in Fresno fit in? You and I have discussed this. It may be right now in this very limited configuration of schools, of eight schools, the only other place. I mean, I realize there are things in Frisco, Texas, but, you know, I'm going to leave that alone for the moment. But is there anybody else but Fresno that could step up and have another host bowl game within the conference of the confines of the conference right now? Because I don't see it. Do you?
You know, again, that's not something I really spent a lot of time thinking about. So there may be something that's not occurring to me in the moment. But, you know, certainly the run that there was with the Cal Bowl back in the day was successful. Of course, that was a new stadium then. Now it's a 40-year-old stadium that needs a lot of work. So, you know, could that be a feather in the cap of stadium renovation? That if there's a potential for the bowl game to be here, could that help, you know, streamline and accelerate the process of renovating Valley Children's Stadium? You know, sure, that's a possibility. I think the community would embrace it, and you'd have to have that long-term commitment, you know, to make it viable and sustainable. But that's not out of the question. And, you know, there's probably other facilities in California too. You know, when San Diego State was building its stadium, the Aztecs played there at Carson at the soccer stadium. And, you know, that was a fun venue for football. And then you don't have to have the giant crowd, you know, to make it successful. You know, same thing, you've got the soccer stadium right next to the LA Coliseum. That could be a venue, right? I think there are a lot of things, if you're thinking outside the box, that you could come up with. But we'll see. We'll see. You know, that bowl lineup is a subject of so much consternation, especially in this era of the opt-out, that I think it's going to be a while before the dust really settles in college football and there's any kind of consistency over time.
Well, and you're right. And the other thing, we've certainly discussed this. You had a situation with the Cal Bowl. Number one, there weren't nearly as many bowl games as there are now when the Cal Bowl first started back at the start of the 80s. But also, it was very successful when Fresno State was there. was not successful when Fresno State wasn't there. And it's, I told you, the late, great Al Radkar, our longtime friend and really the preeminent voice in a variety of ways for the entirety of the Valley for such a long, long time when I was a kid. He suggested, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, that the California Bowl every year ought to be, as long as Fresno State was bowl eligible, the Bulldogs against somebody else, like a de facto home game, and I didn't think the rest of the conference would go for it. I don't think Al was completely serious, but I got the premise. But the other thing, Paul, on the flip side that isn't brought up nearly as often, is the feeling that if you have a bowl game in your area, you're almost obligated to play in it, even if there might be an opportunity somewhere else because of the financial pressure when you're not there. That is something that's tough for a Fresno State, is it not?
Yeah, I think so, Tony. I mean, that would be a bit of a quandary, and it's something that would come up, you know, year after year. But I don't think that's a reason not to do it. And I think, too, we're in a day and age where, you know, things are a lot more executable. I mean, with AI, you can produce something just by thinking about it. And the possibilities of how you augment a bowl game here in the Valley, tapping into the greater potential of the region, involving Yosemite or Sequoia, Kings Canyon. I still think that someday we've got to find a way to have an outdoor basketball game in Yosemite. I think that would be an instant TV classic and be very educational for student athletes. I mean, there's a lot of things that we have in our area that other places don't have, and we don't always take full advantage of them. So if there's an opportunity for a bowl game to be here again, I think, you know, the collective creativity and ingenuity of the Valley could make it a success. But, you know, right now it's really a matter of survival, Tony. I mean, the Dogs ended up on the right side of the divide in terms of the Pac-12 Mountain West. If they were on the other side of that, things might look a little bleaker right now, but they're not out of the woods. I mean, there's a ton of revenue generation that's going to have to take place, of fundraising, of support, and you never know where that's going to come from, right? Are there some mega donors that come out of the blue? Are there alumni that take a decided interest and want to be more involved? I think you have to consider and be receptive to all options. And ultimately, you're going to need some real visionary and principled leadership to take Fresno State where everybody wants the Bulldogs to go.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul. The one thing about having the commitment to your own bowl game, history has shown most of the time Fresno State has ended up in, you know, were considered the lesser bowl games, the Mexico Bowl, et cetera. So I suppose if you wanted to look at, if the past is prologue, it would say that issue about being held back from a better bowl game, and I'm not talking about, obviously, a playoff game. That's a whole different proposition. You're talking about a higher-level bowl game than the one you have at home, but you are obligated to play at home for the success of the bowl game. That has not been a major issue in regard to the Bulldogs being invited to a higher level bowl game. For instance, you'd have to look at what happened with the LA Bowl. Now, that was again Fresno State playing Washington State because the Bulldogs had just won the conference. That's not what we're talking about either. So I would suppose, Mark, if you're listening, that probably wouldn't hold you back much. What would hold you back would be the financial commitment of trying to find that corporate sponsor that is willing to front the money with the possibility they may not have a Fresno State in the game itself. I have no doubt, Paul, if the Cal Bowl, and we've discussed it a lot, were to be brought back in whatever form, if the Bulldogs are involved, you're going to have a great crowd. If not, particularly now geography-wise, you would have to be relying on people flying in. The only team that could really bus in would be San Diego State. Our fan bases driving in, and that's 5.5 hours. So you're sort of isolated, right? Even more than before where you had a San Jose State around, for instance.
Yeah, but again, that's where the creativity and ingenuity come in, right? I mean, what could we market? Maybe there's, you know, a bowl game coincides with a food expo, since we grow most of the world's food here, and you have, you know, a week-long event where vendors are coming from all over the place. I mean, a couple months later, we see it in Tulare every year, World Ag Expo. I mean, it's drawn people from all around the globe. And that's, you know, that's a bigger event than any bowl game. So why couldn't you supplement, you know, with something around what our strengths are, which is agriculture, which is our natural beauty. You know, you've got the excursions for the players to national parks, many of whom, that's the first and only time they'll ever visit a national park. You know, at that time of year, you've got snow. There's so many things that you could work into it if we're creative about, hey, we don't have to look like everybody else. What are the things we have in our community, in our valley, that are of value that people from these other schools may not have experienced, that fans may not have experienced, and highlighting those things. I think that's, to me, thinking that way is always going to work out. It may not look exactly like you thought it would when you started thinking about it, but it's a whole lot better than saying, hey, what does everybody else have and what can we manufacture that looks like somebody else? I think when you start with, you know, what do we already have going for us and how can we strengthen the things that are already an asset as opposed to manifesting something we don't have from thin air. But that, you know, again, that's just my philosophy and my perspective on it. But, you know, right now I'm excited to see the Bulldogs go down to Tucson and compete, have a chance to finish strong. Again, I'm excited for Coach Moore up in Pullman and Coach Skipper in San Luis Obispo, two guys that I think really gave their all to this program. And it was a big part of them and their development. And they're always going to have a special place in their heart here. Excited for the Diamond Dogs coming up. And again, that's a great Christmas gift. And let's see what Coach Wahlberg's team can do in conference play. You know, kind of a tough finish to the non-conference schedule with a few that got away, but still some guys that are making progress. I look at the freshmen on this team and I say, boy, the more playing time they can get in the first half of conference play, those guys could be completely different players in terms of confidence and feel and cohesion when the games really count even more in February and March. So, you know, specifically Deshaun Gorey and DJ Stickman, they've got the athleticism that it takes to be elite players in the Mountain West. And the way they're going to polish that and become those kind of players and not just talk about the potential is by getting major minutes. So if that happens, you know, in these next 10 games or so, you might see a different team in the second half of conference play. And I'd apply the same principle to a couple other freshmen. You know, Wilson Jacques, he's got three straight double-doubles. He's really come into his own. His fundamentals are so strong. He sees the floor. You know, like he's made some of the best passes on the team this year out of double teams to open shooters. So he's got a real feel for spacing, for timing on rebounding. You know, the offensive polish will be a work in progress and probably will be all year. But there's another guy, could be better by the time the games really count. And Gasper Kochever, you know, he hurt his ankle, didn't get to play the last game. But another guy, I think he's so versatile, and he creates so much matchup versatility because of the different ways you can deploy him. And, again, just a freshman. So I think all those guys have a chance to be a whole lot better by the end of the year. And it's going to be tough in the conference, right? There are no gimmies in the Mountain West, but if this team can feel, you know, that the style they need to play, continue to play well together, they're sharing the ball well, there's a few games they want back because they haven't finished, and they'd love to find some consistency in shooting. But if that shows up, and if Douglas gets healthy, if Cam Fox can be a consistent shooter, if they can find ways when teams are taking the weapon of Jake Heidbreder away to get offense from other sources, all of a sudden that's a team that's a little more dangerous. I do think the conference as a whole is a little down this year compared to last year. That said, you've got some really good teams at the top. I mean, the top three or four are going to be really, really tough to beat at home or away. So, you know, how much consistency can you find? Can you stay healthy? Can you develop those freshmen? I think the answers to those questions will make the difference between, you know, finishing in the bottom two or three or maybe making it up to the middle of the pack in the Mountain West.
Well, again, on the 20th, they'll be in Vegas, so they have a 10-day break from the last game on the 10th, and then they'll have another 10-day break and then home against a team that's picked by many to win the conference, Utah State. So it is a very big start to the conference for Fresno State. And, of course, in between the bowl game on the 27th in Tucson, 1:30 our time. So it is going to be not a full calendar, but certainly an important calendar for the rest of December as we get ready to head to the new year. Paul, I appreciate it. Have a great week, my friend, and a safe trip into Vegas. And hopefully we'll be talking next Monday after W. Take care. I'll see you.
Sounds good, Tony. Keep smiling and Merry Christmas.
You too. All right, guys. Voice your Bulldogs. Paul Leffler, take a break. Come back, tell you about the schedule. Hand it off to Phil. He's got 2 hours with his fine show behind the bench, and then it's off to Carter and everybody at Me and Ed's Victory Grill. Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park, major wager Monday. Very important game for the Steelers tonight against the Dolphins. Tell you all about our schedule just a couple of minutes from now as we take a break, because the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN.
Back outside the Monday show and handed off to Taylor Stone, still behind the bench to PI today, and then it's time for Monday regular Monday. The 2 weeks to go in the NFL regular season, very important game for the Steelers tonight as they try to hang on to what appears to be, or at least is likely to be, either win the division, which they lead by a half a game over the Ravens right now in the AFC North, or not make the playoffs at all. I don't know that a wild card is going to be in the offing, sitting at 7-6. The good news for the Steelers, they're still in the divisional lead at 7-6, but a very important game. Steelers and the Dolphins in Pittsburgh tonight, 5:15. Kick it off, get there by 5. The feed for us from Westwood One, of course, the game on ESPN tonight. It is not on ABC tonight, just ESPN, but big screen TVs, the great food of Me and Ed's, Granite Park, Cedar and Dakota, and Carter and everybody there, the terrific giveaways and everything for Major Wager Monday. Stop on in and see them tonight. Tell you about schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Always want to commend Ed for the great fundraising he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, and the Lyles College of Engineering. He's a graduate there on campus. The goal is always for Precision Civil Engineering through the Lyles College of Engineering is to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked out beautifully over the years, and a lot of those grads go right to work at Precision for Ed. As far as the schedule, the only thing on the docket tonight is that very important game on 14:30 at 5 o'clock between the Dolphins and the Steelers. Important for the Steelers. Location, location, location. The Dolphins are just a game back at 6-7, but the AFC East with Buffalo and New England there, a completely different proposition than the well-balanced AFC North at the moment. But the game will kick at 5:15 tonight, and like I said, very important for the Steelers, so we'll see how it plays out. Also want to mention on Thursday, as we start week 16 of what is an 18-week proposition, of course, 17 games and one bye for everybody, the Rams and the Seahawks from Seattle. That is a huge game, and I had the question that came in from William. As a 49er fan, who should he pull for, the Seahawks or the Rams, since both are one game ahead of the 49ers, though it looks better for a wild card now with Detroit losing to the Rams yesterday? William, the best answer is, if you want to have control of your destiny, would be for Seattle to win that game, simply because the 49ers don't have a game left with the Rams. They split the two, and if the Rams were to go undefeated the rest of the way, the 49ers couldn't catch them. With Seattle, even if they win the game, as long as the 49ers, who have three tough ones remaining, win at Indy and win against Chicago, they would be able to take care of Seattle on that final Sunday of the year, because the 49ers have already beaten the Seahawks once. So if you want to look at it in that regard, you're better off having Seattle win. The ideal scenario, a double forfeit, but I don't think that's going to happen. All right, so we'll talk more about that later on, but that will kick off the week. And the 49ers are on Indy turf on Sunday, and what looked like it might be a walkover after injuries hit the Colts, you see a 44-year-old Phillip Rivers jump in, and he looked pretty good and almost won the game yesterday in a real tough place to play, which is where the Rams are going, which is up to Lumen Field in Seattle. So we'll see how it plays out. The 49ers, a very tough finish at Indy, then home to Chicago, and home to the Seahawks. So if they're going to do it, they're going to certainly earn it. Of course, the Super Bowl is in their home stadium. The 49ers would love to play Super Bowl 60 at Levi Stadium. We'll see how it plays out. Also remind you, the Lakers and the Sharks have games later in this week. We'll tell you about that as the week rolls along, and everything for the National Football League in specificity as we get to Thursday. Phil will have a lot to say about that for a certainty with his show coming up. Speaking of his show, normally Phil is 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, shortened today because of Major Wager Monday. You can always reach him on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Or on Thursday, stop by and see him in person. He's always at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian, the best furniture on the planet. Great eats when Phil is around. And always a terrific atmosphere there with the best furniture you're going to find. Nothing like it in California, that's for sure. So stop on in and see him on Thursdays, El Paso, across from River Park. Paul Mitters has two fine shows with us on our sister station, the Deuce 790. He has Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific athletics. We also have play-by-play from Fresno Pacific throughout the remainder of the school year. 6 to 7 on Wednesdays, Sunbird Sports Show. Check it out on 790. Also, Paul has his long-running outstanding show on 1430 on Saturday morning. That is Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon from First String Sports. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcasts there. Check that out. And then the final reminders, the thank yous go out, of course, to everybody at Me and Ed's with Major Wager Monday, to Rod Avedikian, the whole gang at Fashion Furniture, to our friends at First String Sports. Also, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, bringing you the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. And finally, the thank yous go out to the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. One more time, holidays are a busy time for everybody. Dinner doesn't have to be a hassle right now. For just $25, you can get 8 pieces of golden extra crispy drumsticks and thighs, 2 large sides of mashed potatoes, 4 warm biscuits, and a gravy flight that features classic brown, new white peppercorn, and new Southwest cheddar gravies. It's all there at the local KFCs for the extra crispy festive feast. It is, as always, finger-licking good. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Jorge. Phil is coming up, and then it's time for Carter and everybody. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar in Dakota, the Steelers and the Dolphins. Get there by 5:15. The great food of Me and Ed's and a terrific ball game. We'll talk all about it tomorrow with Jackson Moore, including everything going on with Fresno State. By the way, one other note, Devontae Adams optimistic that with that hammy he'll be able to play against Seattle. We'll see what happens on Thursday. Phil will talk about that too. See you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.